In your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the topic of the perfect guide. The perfect guide. I've had you sitting for a little bit. If you would join me standing for just a moment, we're going to read this just one verse here, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Let's pray. Lord God, we love you for your goodness and mercy that you have given us today. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, that we can enjoy every day anew. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call you Father, for the permanency of that relationship. And Lord, that you would consider looking upon a worthless worm as I and saving me, Lord, cleansing me, making me holy, God, something that never would be possible in human terms, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for how you have worked in our lives, Lord, for the salvation you have offered us freely. And God, I pray that you would make any flaw, any evident in my life tonight, Lord, that I would not stand in the way of the truth of the gospel today, that it would be clear, Lord, that it's your word, your message for your people, Lord. I pray that we would walk away from here a changed people because we saw a glimpse of your glory. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and we thank you in faith for what you're going to do in and through each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to share with you a life-changing experience that I had in the Comarca in Panama. God dealt with me on this trip. It was 9 days long. We had to drive an hour and a half on paved roads, narrow but paved roads. And we didn't go but about 8 miles into the Comarca, but because of all the curves and up and down and everything. But we drove an hour and a half on these paved roads. And then once we left the paved roads, we drove 4 hours on the most intense, incredible off-road driving I have ever seen or done in my entire life. And I was raised in the villages of Mexico, amen? I've seen some off-road. I've seen some really bad dirt roads. And these topped them all. They were the most incredibly extreme terrain that I had ever seen. We barely made it. In fact, we wouldn't have made it unless the local people, about a mile from the village, we got stuck. It was just incredible. There were 2 foot deep gouges that the water had cut out in the road, and it was raining, and it was just sliding everywhere. And the patrol had lock differentials and everything, but all 4 tires were spent. It was useless. We weren't going to get up that hill. But all these people came out of the mountains, and they brought picks and shovels. I don't even know why they came, because we didn't ask for help. They just all came. And then later I found the pastor, and he said, did the help come? Yeah, the help came. And he had sent people to go out there, Evaristo. He's in the story a lot. You'll learn to like him, Evaristo. And he brought some of the people from town, not even church members, but he brought some of the people out of town, and they resurfaced the last bit of the road for us. And just a flash. It was absolutely amazing to watch these guys work. But it was all resurfaced. We were able to drive all the way into the last bit of town. And we parked the truck there and we left it. And then the next morning, we started our hike into the Comarca. From there, we were at 4,000 feet elevation. From there, we hiked for 11 miles. 11 miles. Went up from 4,000 feet elevation to 6,400 feet. Down, this was the hardest part, down to 2,200 feet elevation. That hike from 6,400 to 2,000, that was the hardest part. Going down all that way in such a short distance, man, my knees were on fire. An incredibly, incredibly horrible pain in both of my knees. It was just so, so hot and incredibly difficult to be able to make that descent. And boy, when we were getting ready to go on this trip, I was so excited. I had a backpack, and I know I don't know how to do this, so I called my brother-in-law, Beth's sister, Kyle. He's a Marine. And I said, man, he'll tell me how to do this right. And I called him, Pastor Miller, and I said, hey, Kyle, I don't know how to wear a backpack properly, so how do you do this? And he says, oh, okay, so you got to cinch that waist strap. You got one with waist strap? Yeah, I got that. So, you have to cinch that so tight where it relieves the weight off your shoulders. Okay, I got that. And my pack, before I left, I had a sleeping bag in there and my hammock and water purifying system. And we had Bibles and a water pack there and all this different feed, some snacks. My pack weighed 56 pounds. And albeit that's very heavy, these guys that I'm going in there with, they can carry 250 pounds on their backs these 11 miles. And I knew this because they had told me about that. So I'm thinking 56 pounds, if they can carry 250, I can take 56.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No. So I carry this 56-pound pack and I mean, it's got really wide straps and little shock spots right there and a strap that goes in front, make sure it stays off your shoulders, doesn't make your arms go dead. And it's got this, and they carry these 250-pound bags, 250-pound weights with this net bag. And I have one, but we forgot it at the hotel, but called a chakra. And it's just a net bag out of string like a mason would use, that thick, but it's more plasticky. And they carry those 250-pound bags all resting on their forehead. So the strap comes around their forehead and the weight is on the small of their back. And so they carry that and they wear nothing but rubber boots, shorts, and usually no shirt. But if they do have a shirt, it's just a thin t-shirt and that's all. They don't have a water bottle. They don't have a snack or food, anything. All they're carrying is their weight. And they get paid $12 per 100 pounds to be able to take that 11 miles and take it into the Comarca. And I knew this. I had heard about it before, but I had never experienced it, never walked those 11 miles myself. And so, man, I got my backpack, and I'm thinking, with all this proper, the correct way to carry this backpack, and a backpack not carried on my neck, I can do this. I can go in there, and I can go with these guys. And so we get in there, and four-wheel drive it in right to the place, and then we leave the truck, and there at the end, I'm like, well, it is kind of heavy, so I left some things in the truck, and trying to make sure that I can do this, and we're walking on the way, and I'm having a little hard time, so I asked Pastor Evaristo, can we cut a stick so I can use, and he's like, sure, so we cut a stick, and I'm using the stick. 2 hours into this trip, and I'm sucking wind for all that I'm worth. I mean, I took videos. And my wife just started laughing when she saw it, when she was watching the videos. I'm like, what? She's like, this part right here. As I said, I'm sucking wind. I didn't realize how much until I watched the videos later. I'm sucking wind. I'm saying, I'm questioning all the life choices that I made to get me to this point. The video is horrible. It is horrific because I even left the little gimbal thing that steadies the video. I left that back in the car so it wouldn't weigh me down. And I'm holding the camera in my hands. It's absolutely horrible video. But you can hear me sucking oxygen, trying to get some more oxygen in my lungs. Because remember, I live at sea level and we're going up to 6,400. That doesn't seem like a big thing to you? Come on down. I'll take you down there and show you. It is grueling, grueling. So let me tell you, this hardest thing I've ever done in my life, not the hike, what comes next. The I'm sitting on the side. There's a little hump of dirt there, and I'm sitting down, the backpack resting on a rock behind me, and I'm sucking wind, and the locals come back to me, and they say, brother, give me your pack. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done. So I had to admit that I couldn't do it. So I unbuckled the clip. I took it off. One of those guys, he had a bag. And he had two boxes of books. One of Bibles and one of Sunday school material. And they were bean-sized boxes. And so he put my backpack and all those straps and fancy stuff. He shoved it down inside and he put that on there and he put it on his forehead and off he goes. And Brother Alex was having a hard time too, and so he took his backpack too. So he had my pack, Brother Alex's pack, and the two boxes of Bibles, and he spent most of his time on the trip waiting on us, because it wasn't even 100 pounds, and they're used to carrying up to 250 pounds. So we're going on this trip, and that was the hardest part, was admitting that I couldn't do it and I needed help. And then once we did that, then the rest of the trip, you would think it'd be easy, right? No. Physically, the rest of the trip was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. It was so grueling. And part of the thing that was the hardest was every step I took, it felt like every step I took, I would fall and trip and stumble, partially because I had gotten so exhausted in the first 2 hours of the trip. The next 8 hours of the trip was very difficult because I started out tired. And I learned some things that day, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. Look, it is true we learn from our mistakes, okay? But what I'm trying to share with you tonight is learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. Don't go out and make the same ones. Learn from my mistakes. And what I learned that day was that Christ has come before us. And Christ has become the perfect guide for you and I. Why? Why? Because he's not telling us about a life that he's not lived. He has come. If you look in that verse 21, he says, "For even whereunto ye were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." He suffered for us. My guide there in Panama took my load from me, a load that I could not carry. And he took any suffering that load caused, he took it on himself. And he suffered that load for me so that I could go on the trail. And he suffered this load from us just like Christ suffered for you and for me. And watch, it doesn't end there. He doesn't just suffer for us, but he suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example. Leaving us an example. While he suffered for us, it's not that Christ suffered for us to show us how to suffer and left us to suffer the load ourselves. No. Christ came and suffered for us in our stead. While doing so, he left us an example. Because he came and was tempted in like manner, like you and I are tempted. And he suffered our fate, our the price of sin. He suffered that for you and for me. And I had never had such a visual, such a living example of that until I was sitting on the side of that trail, that path, and I was completely spent. My flesh was completely spent. And you know what? That is a wonderful place to be when you're completely spent, because you understand, you finally get it. You're not enough. If you're tired today, if you're expended, if you're at your wit's end, thank God it's finally there. And now you can admit and get help. Now you can admit that you need Christ. Now you can admit, hey, I've been trying to do this Christian thing on my own and I can't. Because you can't. God expects perfection. And none of us can meet that. Man, the Pharisees, they tried. And they did a pretty good job of appearing perfect and holy. But they were completely hypocrites. Christ called them on many occasions hypocrites. Why? Because they looked good, but inside they were full of wickedness and hypocrisy. And I learned a couple things on that trail. First, his preparation. Thinking of my guide, Evaristo. My guide, Evaristo, he had been this trail before. And when I think of his preparation, I know that my guide, being a person like me, knew what I needed. He knew that I was not in the right condition to be able to make that trip, so he helped me with my load. He knew that I needed to rest. And you know, I tried to steal rest places along the way. And I thought that he was being so mean to me by driving me so hard. And come on, brother. He would tell me, come on, brother, let's go. Come on, come on. And there was a couple times where I thought, man, you slave driver. I'm not cut out for this. Like, you know where he was taking me? To a beautiful resting place. He took me to this place. It was a, man, it must have been 75 feet tall. There was just trees. It made this giant canopy, about 75 feet, higher than this ceiling here. And there was a stream that was coming through, the most fresh and clean, beautiful water, and a giant stone table about four times the size of the piano. And we sat there on that stone and around it, and we had a meal, and he let us rest until we had our full of rest. And it reminded me of Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, where he says, "But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." My guide knew that I needed to rest. And at times it felt like he didn't, but he was taking me to a better place to rest, to a place that was appropriate, to a place that was good. And sometimes when we in our Christian life, we get ahead of God and we start to try to tell God what is right for us when he knows what we need. He knows when we need rest. He knows when we need to step aside. Jesus did that with his disciples many times, stepping aside, taking them aside to rest and to relax. In Isaiah 58:11, first part says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." It wasn't just he gave me a general direction and said, "There you go, head down that path." I've been there before where they just told me, "Head down that path." It doesn't work out because there's forks all along the way. No, our God goes along with us like the perfect guide would, and he guides us continually. Amen. It's absolutely amazing. Secondly, I learned about his pace. About his pace. When I was thinking about his pace and the pace, you know, have you ever seen a kid follow his dad and his dad in the mud or in the dirt? He would leave footprints and the kid would walk in his daddy's footprints like that. I got so tired of tripping and falling that I got real close to Evaristo with his rubber boots there, so close that if I reached out like this, I could touch the heel of his boot, because it was so steep. His feet were that high in front of me. And so I'm walking along with my stick. There's his feet right there. I was so close I could touch him. And I would look at what rock he stepped on, and I would step on that same rock. And if he put his foot down like that, I would too. Every single step he took. And you know, the strangest thing happened. I quit falling. Why? Because my guide had been here before. My guide had helped blaze this path. He had passed through here before. He knew what was up ahead, and he knew how far you needed to jump and what rocks to step on, which ones not. And then I would get tired, and I would fall back, and I would start tripping and falling again. And I would hurry up, and I would get up close to my guide again, and I would start to see where he would. I'd get close enough where I could see where he'd put his feet, and I would follow in his footprints and footsteps, and I wouldn't fall. Now, let me tell you, if you're having a hard time in your Christian life, maybe you're a little too far away from Jesus to see where his footprints are. Maybe you need to get a little closer to Jesus. Maybe you need to get a little closer to God. Have a closer walk with him and get further away from the world so that you can draw closer to him. The first and most important calling God will make on any person's life is to himself. Well, tell me where you're called and what ministry you're called to. First, God calls you to himself. And then all that other stuff is secondary. So as we're thinking about his pace, I realized that I had to humble myself. I felt silly walking in this man's footprints. But when I did, it was when I met with most success. Psalms 25:9 says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." I needed to humble myself to where I would draw closer to my guide, and I would see which way to walk in. Zechariah said, Jesus was to give the light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's Luke 1:79. To guide our feet in the way of peace. We want to live in peace. We want to live in prosperity. Romans 8:6 says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You want to have life and peace? Amen? You got to be spiritually minded. And the third thing I want to consider tonight is his path. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. You have to guide each and every step. As I considered that, I was looking there and following my guide, and sometimes I would fall back, like I mentioned earlier, and my guide would get further away from me, and there was always, every 100, 200 feet, there was a little Y, a little fork in the road. And some of them met back up with the road up ahead, but I didn't know which ones did and which ones didn't, because I didn't know the path, I didn't know the way. So when I would get away from my guide and I would get to a fork in the road, I would look up and I couldn't see him anymore because the grass was so, so deep and the vegetation was so thick, I couldn't see him anymore. So I would have to call out, Evaristo, Evaristo, ¿dónde estás? Where are you? And Evaristo would have to call back and he would say, where are you? And I would tell him, I'm at this place. And he would say, take a right or take a left. Or if there was just grass, he would raise his hand and I would follow the path. And I would see, there you go, there's the path. And then I would be able to take it. What happened was, did the guide step off the road? Did there something happen to the guide? No, I fell away from the guide. I fell away from my leader. And if I would have stayed close to him, I never would have gotten lost. I never would have gotten lost. And you know, the other thing too is, I mean, we're going over some incredibly beautiful terrain. And I was out there in those places trying to steal peaks and pictures and stuff like that. Mike, he knew every best view out there. And though he was from there, he had seen them all and he knew all the best places to look at. And he would tell me, Ethan, stop here. Take a step off the path. Stand out there on that rock and look out that way. And man, I would go there and step out on that rock. And it almost felt like I was flying because I'd be standing above a bluff. And you could just see forever. There was places where you could see the ocean from where I was, the Pacific Ocean. It was absolutely amazing. And if I would have done it in my own strength, in my own flesh, to try to find those places, I never would have found them. But when I listened to my guide is when I enjoyed the trip the most. Sometimes what happens in our Christian life is we try to enjoy it in our own flesh. We try to enjoy things that we want. And instead of saying, look, you want to be happy? I'll tell you how to be happy. Follow God. Follow God's things. God knows what you have need of. God knows what will make you happy. If we follow and draw near into God and we stay close to Him, He will show us those amazing views and show us those wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. I hope this is an encouragement to you tonight. If we just draw closer to God, close enough that you can reach out and touch His feet. That's how close. How close? That's how close. Where you can reach out and touch His feet. If you stay that close to your guide, I guarantee you, you won't be led astray. But the moment you step away, all bets are off. You're doing it in your own power at that point. All bets are off. Look, this life is hard. You got problems. They're different than mine, but you've got problems. I understand that. But I'll tell you, God has been tempted. Jesus has been tempted in like fashion like we are. And if we'll just stay close to God, we won't be led astray. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God.